So we have been speaking a lot recently about the love of the Father, the love of God, and you're going to hear it again. Now, I really think the Lord is trying to get something through to us and very clear in our hearts and our minds. Some of what you hear may be a slight repeat of what Pete brought us last week, and I'm not copying him. This is also what the Father gave me, so I am going to carry on. So John 3 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." God sent Jesus for us. We know that. We constantly give honour to Jesus and welcome the Holy Spirit. But something that struck me is sometimes we can actually neglect to give the honour and praise due to the Godhead, our Heavenly Father. Now, Jesus himself taught us how to pray. He said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now notice Jesus said, "Our Father." He didn't say, "My Father." He said, "Our Father." And hallowed be your name. Hallowed meaning to revere, to honour, to be made holy and to be consecrated. And Jesus did that, didn't he? He glorified the Father constantly. He gave honour to him. He did the Father's will, even to death on a cross. Jesus said, "Not my will be done, but yours." Father God sent his one and only Son to make a way for us to be made clean and whole so that we can come into his presence. We couldn't do it without Jesus. The Father is so holy, sin cannot go near him. He's far above sin and the uncleanliness of the world. No one can even look on the face of God and live. But Father God loves us so much, and he wants us to be able not only to come close, but have a loving relationship with him. And Jesus was sent to make that possible, to pay the price by his shed blood. And I want to quickly look at what that means, paying the price, because we're sinful. Some people don't want to hear that, but it's true. Humanity is sinful. None of us can say we've never lied or bent the truth a little bit or had a bad thought or said a bad word in anger or in hurt. That's just humans. That's just who we are. Probably not what you wanted to hear on a Sunday morning, but it is the truth. Sin came into the world via Adam and Eve. But the great news, the wonderful news, is Jesus came to remove it. And that is simply received by our faith in Jesus. Galatians 3 says, "Abraham trusted God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So those who have faith are sons of Abraham. By our faith, we are also brought into a right relationship with God and are blessed along with Abraham." So I want to briefly explain also about a sin offering. The Old Testament priests made an atonement for the sins of the people. An atonement, by the way, meant a covering, not a removal. So Father God decided before the foundations of the world to do it once and for all with Jesus, but this time removing our sin, not just covering it. Ephesians 1 says, "For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his presence. In love, he predestined us for adoption as his sons through Christ Jesus," and Jesus completed that task. When he died on the cross, if you remember, there was a curtain in the temple that separated the outer and the inner sanctuary where the sin offering was done. That was ripped from top to bottom to signify there is now no separation from us and our Heavenly Father. It is completely finished, and that's what Jesus said. By his blood, it is finished. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." The way is made clear for us to come directly as children of God to the Father. Now, Ephesians 3 says, "The fellowship of the mystery, which has been hidden in God since the beginning of ages, has been made known through Christ, and now in boldness and faith and confidence, we have access to our Father." Paul continues in verse 14 saying, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Can't you just hear Paul's passion in that? He just overwhelms, doesn't he, with his passion. You know, he says, when I think of all this, I just fall to my knees and pray to the Father. Now, another translation of that says, you will be rooted and grounded in love. It is our Father's will that we are rooted and grounded in that love, and that we know who we are to him. Now, I know you probably all know this. So why does it seem like I'm going back to basics? Well, I wanted to remind us of the Father's love again. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, whose love is absolute for us because we are brothers and sisters of our Father God. We are brothers and sisters and children of Father God. And I think the Lord wants to really get it clear in our hearts and minds who we are to him, how much we mean to him. You see, it can be so easy to say, God loves you, and read it in the Bible. God loves you. But until we truly get that in our hearts and minds, that the Father God, the creator of all things, is a close, loving, caring, compassionate Father God, not a distant one who sits on a throne and just watches us from afar, but one who stepped down from heaven and gave himself in the form of Jesus so that we can come into his presence and have a proper father-son, father-daughter relationship. Until we fully understand it, until we fully accept it in every part of our being, we aren't walking in the fullness of what is available to us as heirs with Christ. We can hear the truth of the gospel 1,000 times. But it's only when we know the truth that the truth will set us free. In John 8:31, Jesus said to us, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So what is the truth? The truth is we are loved so much, and we are made heirs to everything the Father has. We have an inheritance. We have a right to go to our Father and ask him for anything and receive it. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. That is the Father's heart for us, to know who we are. Not only that we are loved, but that we are also equipped to do his will and bring him glory. And what's his will? That everyone knows how much he loves them, to have a close relationship with him, to receive Holy Spirit, to have faith and walk in the authority that he's given us, to walk in the supernatural, in signs and wonders, just like we read in the Bible, just like Jesus told us to do. Jesus said, you'll do greater things than these. I know most of you, if not all of you, want to see the sick healed, and people freed from addictions and anxiety and all sorts of change. And it's at our fingertips. It's not that we don't believe that God can do these things, is it? We know he can. But it's usually that we don't believe he'll use us to do it. Jesus said, ask and receive. As a child of God, all that belongs to the Father, we have access through. Via Jesus. But we have to understand the love of the Father and how much we mean to him. Psalm 103 says, as a parent feels for her children, so God feels for his children. Nice verse, isn't it? Jesus told us a story of the prodigal son to explain this love. So I'm going to quickly tell you. There were two sons, and one wanted his inheritance, and the father gave it to him. But he took it and he squandered it. There was a great famine, and the son then found himself without any of the money, without any food. He had nothing. And he was thinking, even my father's servants are better off than I am. So he started going through his mind all of the different things he could say to his father. He thought, I'm going to head home, but I'm going to have to apologize. I'm going to have to beg. I'm going to have to say, I'm so sorry. I messed up. I'm not worthy. What have I done? I've squandered your money. I shouldn't have done this. All this was going through his head. And he heads off home. But when he was a long way off, the story says the father saw him and came running. Now, just to let you know, in those days, it was not dignified for a man to run because he had to lift up his robes and he had to run, and it just was not done. It was one of those things that wasn't done. But Jesus tells us the father ran to his son with open arms. But guess what? The father embraces him with such joy. It was so wonderful. He was so pleased to see him. He was so glad he was there. But the son's mindset was still, I've got to apologize. Oh my gosh, I've done all this. The father's embracing him and he's saying, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I messed up. You know, I did this. I did this. I'm not worthy to be your son. All the things that he prepared in his mind, he's now saying. But the father didn't see any of that. He saw his son back and he's like, hallelujah, my son is back. He doesn't see the failures because they were all wiped away in his eyes. How many of us, I wonder, can be just like that prodigal son, trying desperately to apologize to the father for our failures, and he doesn't even see them because they've been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. We don't have to convince the father to love us. He already does. He knew us before we were born, before he breathed breath into our lungs. Jesus is not just with us, but he's for us. He intercedes for us. Paul says in Galatians 3, did you receive the Spirit by doing works or because you listened and believed? Abraham trusted God and it was credited to him as righteousness. It's by faith that we are brought into a right relationship with the Father. There is nothing we can do to work ourselves into the presence of God any more than we already are. But in the same way, there is nothing we can do to make him love us any less. Yeah, I'm going to say that again. There's nothing we can do to work ourselves into his presence or make him love us any more. But in the same way, there's nothing we can do that will make him love us any less. Nothing. Doesn't matter what you've done. When you come with your heart, nothing will separate you from the love of God. Nothing. 1 John 3 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on me that I should be called a child of God. We're made in God's image into a masterpiece. He knows everything about us, every hair on our heads, and he doesn't make mistakes. And he's not disappointed in you. He's not disappointed in you. When we truly grasp who we are to God and live and walk in that knowledge, the truth will set us free into believing that we can come boldly to the Father and pray for the sick, pray for miracles, pray for anything you want to for the glory of the Father. I cannot emphasize enough this morning how much the Father loves us, how much God the Father loves us and is waiting for us to believe that he would have sent his son Jesus for you personally and individually. Your earthly father may not have been the best. He may not have even been around. But the heavenly father is close to all times and he will never reject you. He is the best and he is the perfect father and he sent his Holy Spirit to be with us and in us as a guarantee of that love and salvation. One of the things the Apostle Paul often said was, Christ in me. He really understood that as a child of God, he was never left alone. He walked through the world with Christ, in him. And he stood in God's love through all of his trials. And there were many. Now, it doesn't say anywhere that we won't have trials. But it does say, and I think Costas mentioned this morning, it does say we're overcomers. We are promised that we're equipped. And we can come boldly and pray with confidence, knowing we have authority through Christ. Now, of course, the Father already knows our needs. So why do we need to ask? It's because he wants us to come boldly. He wants us to come as children. If you wanted something as a child, you would go to your father and say, Dad, I know my daughter does, and I know my sons did. Go, Dad, and that's all he wants. He wants us to come close and ask and trust that he will answer us. It's not that he doesn't know what we need, but he just wants us to come close and trust. Now, most of you know, my son Jason opened a restaurant in lockdown, and it has been a struggle, but he has seen miracle after miracle, and his faith has grown so much. And the other week, he needed another miracle, and he just went to the Father and he said, Lord, I need another miracle, please. Within hours, there's a theatre around the corner from the restaurant, and they were opening that week. And they had, I can't remember the name of the play, but there was 20-odd kids in it. And there were about 8 adults. And they were all staying in the local hotel around the corner. And not long, as I say, the same day that my son had prayed this, he gets a call from the theatre company. We're in a hotel around the corner. The whole kitchen has gone down with COVID. Can we come and eat with you for the next couple of weeks? God is amazing, isn't he? God is just wonderful. Romans 8 says, all things work for the good of those who love the Lord. We need to remember that, yeah? So, did you know, by the way, that the Father receives glory when we walk in miracles? That's in John 14. When we walk in miracles, God receives the glory. So let's come boldly to the Father again this morning. And let's ask him to give us a fresh revelation who we are to him. Romans 8:14 says, the greatest key to knowing we are his children is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he is given to everyone who asks, and that's in Luke 11. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. I remember many, many years ago when I first became a Christian, and I remember sitting on the bed when I finally clicked, oh my gosh, there might be a God. You know, how can I come into his presence? And I was filled in a moment from head to toe with the love of God. I didn't know it at the time, but it was obviously Holy Spirit. But I was just filled with such a love. And I just think that this morning, that's what the Lord wants us to experience every day. He wants us to experience it afresh this morning. He wants us to experience it. He wants us to remind us that of his love, that it's like the first time, like the first kiss. Do you remember your first love, your first kiss? God is our first love. He's given you your first kiss, and he wants you to experience that again today. The brother of James, Jude, said, keep ourselves in God's love while we wait for the Lord Jesus. Great advice, because we are under God's grace. But when we look away from his love and we look back at our sins and failures, we're putting ourselves back under the law. But we're not under the law anymore. We are under God's grace. Condemnation only comes from one place. It comes from the enemy. And it's a lie. The blood of the Lamb washed away our every sin, our past, our present, and anything we're going to commit in the future and we're going to feel sorry for. We are no longer under the curse of sin. We've been redeemed. Hallelujah. Yeah? Hallelujah. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse, that the blessing of Abraham becomes ours. And Paul warns us in Galatians 3, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? After starting in the Spirit, are you now finishing in the flesh? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God lavish his spirit on you and work miracles among you because you practice the law or because you hear and believe? It's been made so simple, isn't it, that sometimes it seems too simple. That's all we have to do is believe. Don't you just love the word of God because it covers everything we could possibly ever come up against? The enemy will try and stop us walking in our faith, but his tactics never change. And when we get that into our mind, we know how to fight. We've been given an armor. Condemnation, lies, doubt about who we are in Christ, they're all the same. They all remain the same. Devil's tactics don't change. So this morning, let's renew our mind. Once again, remind ourselves of the Father's love, who we are to him, what we mean to him. He's running towards us with open arms, and he doesn't see any failure that we've done. Nothing, because it was washed away by the blood of the Lamb. So this morning, I want to pray God's love over us. I want to pray a freshness over us. I want to pray that nobody leaves this room and nobody hears this message on the recording and doesn't walk away knowing how much they mean to God, and that Jesus would have died on that cross for you personally and individually if you were the only person left in this world. Remember, he left the 99, went to get the one. Yeah. Don't let the enemy condemn you. Walk in victory because you are victorious through Christ, because of God's love, because God the Father loves you so, so much. So like Jude said, let's keep ourselves in God's love daily so that we can walk and live knowing that we are children